And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. This is PMC Live, Petersburg Medical Center Live. It's a monthly show. We're going to talk about different programs at the hospital and highlight initiatives, things going on. Joined in the studio today by Lori Miller, who's the lab manager and emergency preparedness coordinator. Am I getting that title right, Lori?
You are.
Okay. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure.
We're going to talk about a few things going on in the lab, and maybe we'll start off with what it takes to be a lab technician.
Well, what it takes to be a lab technician here is it requires a four-year bachelor's degree, so you need to actually go to a program where you graduate with a medical laboratory science degree. The reason we require that level of education here is because we work alone a lot of times, especially at night when we're on call, and we perform what is considered high complexity testing, which is our blood bank. So if you need a transfusion, you have to have a certain educational level in order to perform it without having someone immediately review everything you've done.
Doing stuff to maybe assist the ER in their functions?
Exactly. Okay. And part of our bachelor's degree program is a clinical rotation where we partner with the University of Alaska Anchorage because they have a medical laboratory scientist program. And we host a student every year for 10 weeks, and they come and get a good idea of what it takes to be a generalist, which means they get exposed to every area in our lab. And they also get a sneak peek at what it's like to practice as a lab tech in a more rural setting.
Is that going on now? When does that happen?
We actually just said goodbye to our student in July.
Okay. And so that worked out well this year?
It did. It's worked out well every year. We've had some fantastic students rotate through here.
Okay. Is that the extent of the partnership with the university system from the lab standpoint?
From the lab standpoint, I go up to Anchorage at least once a year, usually for emergency preparedness travel. But we have partnered with UAA as well. They have a lot of the same machines that we do. So the techs that come here on the rotation they're already pretty familiar with our setup, but if we have anything that's expired, any reagents or anything, we bring that up there. And occasionally I am asked to speak to the students if there's a class in session and just kind of answer their questions about what it's like to be a lab tech from an actual lab tech that's been in the field for a few years.
Okay. Are you fully staffed? Is it hard to find people who are qualified for these positions?
We are currently fully staffed, okay. But I know that we are looking farther down the road. I'm a planner. It's one of the reasons I enjoy being a lab tech. And there is a 25% plus vacancy rate that's predicted to occur in our field within the next 5 years because the majority of our field is reaching or has already reached retirement age.
Okay. So what would you say to a student maybe just entering school who thinks this could be a possibility as a career in terms of what they should be pursuing for their education, if just at the undergrad level, or should they be doing medical type biology work or what?
Well, definitely medical type biology work. Your freshman year, you're more than likely going to take biology 101 or inorganic chemistry, both of which are required by any medical technology program. Mm-hmm. I would also check with the school that you're going to, even though we know that this is a field that is going to be in high demand in a few years. A lot of schools don't have programs, which is one of the challenges that is facing our field, which is why we are thrilled that UAA has a program.
And it's fingers crossed in good standing?
Fingers crossed it is in good standing. We haven't been informed otherwise.
Okay. With the budget vetoes impending.
Yeah, we've been told so far that everything is in place for the fall semester, okay, and that we don't know about what's going to happen in the spring.
Okay. So potential for a lot of these jobs out there if you do go down this career track.
That is correct. And you don't just have to work in a hospital. If you're interested in research, you can obviously be a lab tech and do research. It helps with the research methodology. It helps you understand how a lab works. If you are looking at anything from infectious diseases all the way up to gene mapping, all of that is lab related.
Okay. What has the Petersburg Medical Center started doing new types of testing over the years and added new features that people can take advantage of here in town?
We have, actually. I know most people have seen, the science fiction programs, and they talk about, we can replicate this virus We do something similar, not with viruses, but we do what's called polymerase chain reaction. So we take very small amounts of DNA and we basically rip them apart, add more DNA to it, basically replicate it to a high enough level that we can detect it with one of our machines. And we do that for the flu virus. We do it for MRSA detection. We also do it for group A strep. And we recently brought on gonorrhea and chlamydia testing as well.
And the advantage of this, this is something that normally you would have sent out for to get a reading of whether this is a...
Well, we would normally send some of it out for confirmation, but mm-hmm. this is the what we call the gold standard. So if we say you're positive, there's no doubt you're positive. We started looking at this technology a few years back when we had the really bad flu strain that went through. The testing kits the FDA let us know had up to a 50% false negative reading. So you could have the flu and the lab test was saying you don't. And then we were finding out later when we sent it off for PCR confirmation at the state level that you did in fact have the flu. And by that point in time, it was too late to do anything about it. And you'd probably given four or five other people the flu. So we brought that technology in-house. So within 2 hours, we can tell the doctor definitively, yes, you do have the flu, or no, you don't.
Okay. So quick turnaround time.
Yes.
All right. All right. So those are new technologies, other new things going on at the lab? Or?
Well, we try to bring on new test methodologies as the doctors require. Mm-hmm. We just recently brought on this really, to me, interesting test. It's for small intestine bacterial overload, which in a lot of cases can mimic Crohn's disease, or people think they have H. pylori or just always have an upset stomach. It could be that if you're on some different types of medication, it's messed the balance of healthy bacteria in your gut. And this is a simple test. It takes 90 minutes to do. We have you drink a drink and blow into some tubes, and then we send it off to a lab, and they are able to tell us whether or not your gut bacteria is out of balance.
Okay. All right. That's handy. And you mentioned flu. Are we kind of in a downtime of year for flu cases? Are you still seeing some?
Well, we're never in a downtime for flu. I know we haven't seen a lot, but typically in the spring and early summer, we would be looking at flu B would be the strain that we'd be most concerned about. I don't think we've had any positive flus in the last month, at least.
I think I remember it was last year that there were some really early cases that came through late summer or something like
that. Yeah, they came through in September.
Okay.
From a cruise ship, actually.
All right. So keeping an eye out for that stuff.
We are. Our physicians are usually really good about getting a travel history and analyzing the symptoms of any patient that presents with, you know, flu-like symptoms.
Okay. Any other weird diseases coming up again? Popping up?
No, weird diseases. Okay. We are very lucky that our population, for the most part, has, from a lab point of view, nothing interesting, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. How about the emergency preparedness side of your role? I know the medical center did do some drilling this past year. Do you have more coming up in the next year here?
We do, actually. Last year in December, we did an active shooter drill where we partnered with the police here in town, which was... really helpful. We learned a lot from that drill. And this year, because we've had some of the public health scares going on with measles and highly infectious diseases, I was able to write a grant through the state of Alaska and asked for some newer infectious disease prevention materials, mostly protective gear for the hospital workers. So I'm hoping in November that we will be doing a full-scale exercise to kind of drill down and test and see where any weaknesses are if we for some reason had a patient present to the hospital with like measles or some sort of highly infectious flu strain, so we can take care of that patient and we can take care of our staff and we don't spread the disease.
Okay, that's kind of a drill that would all be happening on campus, though. It wouldn't be going out into the community or anything.
No, it wouldn't, and not unless we partnered with EMS and maybe had them practice how they would bring a patient into the hospital that was potentially infectious.
Okay. How did that active shooter drill go in looking back on it and assessing everything?
Looking back, we had a lot of lessons learned. I think everybody that participated gained a lot of confidence in the training that they had received as far as what to do when you hear a gunshot or how to respond to an active shooter. The hospital uses the ALICE technique, which is alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evacuate. So everybody has taken the class that I am a certified trainer, and Jenna Olson at the clinic is a certified trainer. And now they actually got a chance to practice outside of the class the skills that they had used. So I think everybody enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. And other things from that standpoint on preparedness and planning?
Well, preparedness and planning happens all the time. I do a lot of it behind the scenes. The biggest thing for us is constantly looking at ways to get better. It's okay when you're planning and preparing. You want to find the weaknesses in your systems. That's the whole point of what we're doing. Because if we don't know they're there and then a real emergency happens, that's not the best outcome for anybody. So we constantly are planning and looking at ways that we can improve.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to bring up to from either lab standpoint or emergency standpoint?
I don't think so. I mean, we're all basically really happy and everything is going as well as it can.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for coming in. You've been listening to PMC Live. Our next show will be about this time next month, the first Thursday of the month at around 12:30 in the afternoon with a different department from the medical center. We'll be back with Street Beat music here in just a few moments.